Is the voice of freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, eager.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. Four times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is $20 per year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. The man that the communist in the White House has named the most dangerous radio host in America, and which memo Rush Limbaugh read on the air to absolve himself of any of the guilt. Ladies and gentlemen, what makes me the most dangerous radio host in America is that we tell the truth here, we document it, and we source it. And it usually makes everyone angry. No one wants to hear the truth, least of all those in power. And even more, least of all, those in power who are attempting to bring about the New World Socialist Utopian State on the ashes of the existing nations of the world. The battle rages most fiercely right here in the United States of America, where we're the only almost free people left on the face of this earth, and we are the only people who have enough guns and ammunition to stop it if we have to. Don't like to hear that, do you? Well, folks, you're going to hear an awful lot of what you don't like to hear on the hour of the time. We're going to continue with our expose of the Illuminati in our midst right after this short pause. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Exactly, did it mean to belong to these mystery religions of ancient pagan nations that Clausen, Albert Pike, Manly Palmer Hall, Mackey, and numerous other Masonic authorities say are the precursors for modern-day Freemasonry? Well, let's see if we can get a feel for what went on in those pagan initiation rites. Change gears for a moment, if you can, and let your imagination run free. Now, to do that, you have to remember the time that this took place. Imagine the following scene around 1350 BC, if you can. And remember that if you lived at that time, you would not know most of what goes through your mind at this present day. Nor would you see most of the sights that you are used to seeing. Picture this. You're in a dark cavern. Flickering light from torches glances off the walls and vaulted ceiling of this great cave. Eerie, and yet somehow very sensuous. The torchlight casts sort of a hypnotic spell on all of those assembled around you for your initiation. Their attention is riveted upon you, the candidate, standing upon the lip of a chasm spanned by a swinging rope bridge. But you stand several yards from the bridge, not at its entrance. Your face is in shadow, but the rigid posture of your body shows all present that you are engaging in intense concentration. Your chest heaves as you breathe in and out rhythmically. Suddenly you straighten and with fists clenched, raise your arms across your chest. You take one final deep breath and then step off the edge into the darkness. Those assembled are silent, watching intently as you levitate across the chasm and step off on the other side. You see, because, ladies and gentlemen, the swinging rope bridge in the darkness is invisible, and was invisible to you until you took that leap of faith and found yourself supported rather than falling. Now, perhaps you may think this is more of an exercise in science fiction rather than a glimpse of what it meant to be an initiate of the mystery religion of ancient days. But listen, as I read to you what the illustrious Manly P. Hall wrote as he described for us the neophyte of these ages. He says that the initiate of the ancient mysteries was a man of great learning and character, for whom initiation into the mysteries meant great physical trials and required great feats of occult capabilities. And again, writing in an esoteric way, he is fooling you, for that is not exactly the way it happened. Remember, magic is nothing more than the art of illusion. He said, quote, "Not one Freemason out of 1,000 could have survived the initiations of the pagan rites, for the tests were given in those strenuous days when men were men and death the reward for failure. The neophyte of the Druid mysteries was set adrift in a small boat to battle with the stormy sea, and unless his knowledge of natural law enabled him to quell the storm, as did Jesus upon the Sea of Galilee, he returned no more. In the Egyptian rites of Serapis, it was required of the neophyte that he cross an unbridged chasm in the temple floor. In other words, if unable by magic to sustain himself in the air without visible support, he fell headlong into a volcanic crevice, there to die of heat and suffocation. In one part of the Mithraic rites, the candidate seeking admission to the inner sanctuary was required to pass through a closed door by dematerialization." End quote. Manly P. Hall in his great tome, pages 414 through 415. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is no one dematerialized and went through solid doors or walls or levitated across chasms. But what they did have to have was the tremendous faith that they could do it. And then through the art of illusion and sometime terrible deprivation and even the brink of torture, they were able to accomplish these feats. It's sort of like trying out for some modern Superman group such as the Navy SEALs or the United States Army Special Forces. You see, as long as you never quit trying, you cannot wash out. That's the great secret. As long as you never say, "I quit," or "I can't," and as long as you never stop trying to do whatever feat it is that they have demanded of you that maybe you are unable to accomplish, you will not be washed out. And eventually, you will build up your strength and your stamina to the point where you can accomplish what to the normal man might appear to be miraculous. Paul then quotes Albert Pike from the Legenda for the 28th Degree as stating that the science of the Hierophants of the Mysteries produced effects that to the initiated seemed mysterious and supernatural, end quote. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the truth of the matter. I suppose we could all agree with Pike that levitating across chasms, quelling storms, and passing through walls could qualify as mysterious and supernatural for one who could not discern the trick to it. One Freemason out of 1,000 is probably close to the percentage of those in today's fraternity who are initiates of the secret inner brotherhood, who really understand the true meaning and purpose of Freemasonry, and who practice such magic and witchcraft. And as we discovered on past broadcasts, such magic and witchcraft have their origin in the pagan occult mysteries of ancient days. And remember, the meaning of occult is not evil or bad. It just simply means hidden. We've also touched briefly on the belief of those who practice the New Age nonsense that all of this was given to us by the, quote, masters of wisdom, end quote, or the, quote, hierarchy, end quote. Let's get a better understanding of this so-called hierarchy and its role in bringing about the New Age world religion. According to the New Age belief system, the masters of wisdom have ruled the affairs of the earth for millennia. They are referred to as the hierarchy, which is composed of advanced beings, some of whom live in an etheric or spiritual city over the Gobi Desert called Shambhala. The hierarchy contains a range of beings all the way up to the, quote, Lord of the World, end quote, himself. You all know who that is. Who is the master of the physical material world? Why, it's Lucifer, also known as Satan. To those who believe what is written in the King James Version of the Holy Bible. Of course, what is being described is what the Bible clearly speaks of as the spiritual forces that all who call themselves Christians are battling in the heavenly sphere, the principalities and powers of Satan's kingdom. And I quote from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For your conflict is not only with flesh and blood, but also with the angels and with powers, with the rulers of this world of darkness, and with the evil spirits under the heavens," end quote. Jesus Christ calls Satan the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we read that, quote, "the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one," end quote. In her book, Initiation, Human and Solar, Alice Bailey says basically the very same thing. And I quote Alice Bailey, "This hierarchy of brothers of light still exists, and the work goes steadily on. They are all in physical existence, either in dense physical bodies, such as many of the masters employ, or in etheric bodies, such as the more exalted helpers and the Lord of the World occupy. They exist upon the planet with us, controlling its destinies, guiding its affairs, and leading all its evolutions on to an ultimate perfection," end quote. Alice Bailey in Initiation, page 32. The Apostle Paul also pointed out that there are unseen spiritual beings organized in a hierarchy. And he says, quote, "And through him were created all things that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether imperial thrones or lordships or angelic orders or dominions," end quote. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he refers to a satanic angel whose assignment was to attack him repeatedly. whose attacks are summarized in the previous chapter. He said, quote, "There was delivered to me a thorn in my flesh, the angel of Satan, to buffet me," end quote. So we can see, whether you believe it or not, the Bible clearly states that there are unseen spiritual beings in the heavenly realm and that they are organized in a hierarchy. So it's not just Alice Bailey who says these things, or Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, or Manly Palmer Hall, or Albert Pike. You see, people who believe, very much like most of you believe, also say these things. The Bible also says that they are organized in a hierarchy. Alice Bailey also tells us something about the headquarters for the Lord of the World in Shambhala, the big city in the sky, if it exists. And she says, and I quote, "The central home of this hierarchy is at Shambhala, a center in the Gobi Desert called in the ancient books the White Island. It exists in etheric matter. Several of the masters in physical bodies dwell in the Himalayan mountains, but the greater number are scattered all over the world, dwelling in different places in the various nations, unrecognized and unknown, yet forming each in his own place a focal point for the energy of the Lord of the World." Alice Bailey, Initiation 33. These people also believe that other planets are inhabited, and that the star Sirius is home to the Great White Lodge, from which all in this sector of the universe is controlled. Now, we revealed earlier, ladies and gentlemen, that according to Alice Bailey, this was the source of the mysteries. There's no proof for this. She just says it. These mysteries, Bailey says, provide the secret powers for the magic and witchcraft practiced by this hierarchy. She claims, and I quote, "The mysteries are, in reality, the true source of revelation. They concern those capacities which enable the members of the hierarchy to work consciously with the energies of the planet and of the solar system, and to control forces within the planet. The mysteries, when restored, will make real the nature of religion, the purpose of science, and the goal of education. These are not what you think today." End quote. Alice A. Bailey, Discipleship in the New Age, New York, 1975, Chapter 2, pages 15 through 16. Bailey says these mysteries contain more than just what is found in Freemasonry, and they will be restored more fully when the hierarchy, meaning the kingdom of the Antichrist, comes to earth visibly. And she says again, and I quote, "The mysteries will be restored in other ways also, for they contain much besides that which the Masonic rites can reveal, or that religious rituals and ceremonies can disclose. And only when the hierarchy is present visibly on earth, and the mysteries of which the masters or the custodians are given openly to man, will the true secret and nature of electrical phenomena be revealed." End quote. Further, says Bailey, "the churches and masonry have failed to do a good job in preparing the way for the restoration of the mysteries." She writes, quote, "The ground is being prepared at this time for this great restoration. The churches and masonry are today before the judgment seat of humanity's critical mind, because both of them failed in their divinely assigned tasks," end quote. And there she gives you a glimpse of the truth, for it is not a secret etheric council of masters of the hierarchy, but humanity in the form of the socialist rulers who will make this judgment. So we see that the mysteries will be restored, according to her, through the agency of liberal churches, such as Unity, Christian Science, Mind Science, Mormonism, and others, as well as through Freemasonry. And these are all named in her tomes. On television, you can watch and listen to people like Pat Robertson, Paul Grouch, or Crouch, I should say, and many others. They wouldn't pass muster as preaching any true form of Christianity as little as 15 or 20 years ago. We've already quoted from a remarkable book, The Spirit of Masonry, written by the husband of Alice A. Bailey, Foster Bailey. And in this book, we read of the true spiritual heritage of which Masonry is the custodian. The typical Freemason reading this book, indeed, virtually anyone, Mason or not, would pass quickly over passages of great interest to one familiar with occult works such as The Secret Doctrine or Alice Bailey's many books, especially Initiation, Human and Solar. So it is of great significance that in his introduction to Part 1 on page 9, Foster Bailey states, and I quote, "The words used in the text of this book are the words of another," end quote. Wow. In our opinion, it's a direct reference to this book's origin from the same source as most of his wife's, Alice's books, as well as those of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. And that source was the Tibetan Dwaj Kul, one of the so-called masters of wisdom, who authored all these works through telepathic transmission, according to them. In other words, their source is in reality some talented actor. The interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen, that we find from reading Foster's book, which was written by a Mason for other Masons, is that the somewhat veiled references he makes to various aspects of Masonry are clearly stated or unveiled in the books of his wife, Alice, and those of H.P. Blavatsky. And by comparing the contents of Foster's book with these others, we can clearly see the key role that Freemasonry has played in the kingdom of the Lord of the world in all areas. And in the universality of the application of the works of these secret orders. For example, on page 16, in discussing the third degree, when Foster refers to the journey of the Master Mason ending in resurrection from the grave, where, quote, "He enters into that great fellowship of Master Masons who are but the expression upon earth of the divine fellowship existing in the Lodge of the Most High," end quote, we need look no further than Foster's wife Alice for the true explanation. In her book, Initiation, Human and Solar, Alice tells us about that Lodge of the Most High, and she's not speaking of heaven. She's speaking of the Masonic Lodge on Sirius, the star. Her comments give us a glimpse of another aspect of the close relationship between the New Age movement and Freemasonry. Quote, "One great fact to be borne in mind is that the initiations of the planet or of the solar system are but preparatory initiations of admission into the greater lodge on Sirius. We have the symbolism held for us fairly well in Masonry, and in combining the Masonic method with what we are told of the steps on the path of holiness, we get an approximate picture. After the first four solar initiations, we get to the fifth initiation, which is the first cosmic initiation. The fifth initiation corresponds to the first cosmic initiation, that of entered apprentice in Masonry, and makes a master and entered apprentice of the Lodge on Sirius. The sixth initiation is analogous to the second degree in Masonry, whilst the seventh initiation makes the adept a Master Mason of the Brotherhood on Sirius." Alice Bailey, Initiation, Human and Solar, page 17 and 18. So we see, ladies and gentlemen, that Freemasonry is more than worldwide. When they say it's a universal religion, that's just exactly what they mean. We see clearly that Masonry's heaven, our great lodge above, is not the dwelling place of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It is the local cosmically, getting my tongue tied around my wisdom tooth here, cosmically speaking, headquarters for the cosmic brotherhood of the Great White Lodge of Freemasonry, which we have discussed at length in previous broadcasts. Alice tells us on page 98 of this book that the lodge on Sirius gets its energy from a lodge in the Pleiades, a distant formation of seven stars. Mayan, the girlfriend of David, who was Shirley MacLaine's.
The light that you shine can't be seen. Man, I can send you a kiss from a rose on the tree. So much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my faith, baby. To me, I'm like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me that I'm happy there? Did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen?
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. Four times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is only $20 a year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now. So much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. You are like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now won't you tell me that happy day? Did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a lot and the light that you shine can't be seen. Baby, I can send you a kiss from a rose on the tree. Ooh, the more I get.
From a rose on a grave. You know, I get calls from people who say, well, you know, I was listening. You say your music has meaning that ties in with the subject of your broadcast. And it does. And most of you might be surprised to know that the rose is the symbol of international socialism. It is also the symbol of the hidden depths of the Illuminati. Those thousand points of light that work behind the veil. Where have you heard that before? And it is also the symbol of the secret destiny of America. Wow. How about that? I also want you all to know that I have no animosity whatsoever toward any particular religions. But we deal with the truth here. What I found in my research is there is not one single organized religion upon the face of this earth that is telling people the truth. Not one. Not one single one anywhere. They're all used as mechanisms, ladies and gentlemen, to keep the common man in the exoteric world, hiding the truth, and to control him or her. And for all the Christian religions, the major churches and evangelists and communities built around the so-called Christianity that was handed down to us from the teachings of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ were to appear upon this earth today, ladies and gentlemen, he would be throwing more than money changers out of the temple. He would throw every single church in existence out with those money changers. And I know that you don't like to hear that either, but it's the truth. Foster said, quote, such symbolically is the progress and mode of achievement for every human soul, such has been the path trodden by all the saviors of the race, from darkness to light all must go. He must learn that the experience is the only thing that can fit him to join the ranks of the master masons of the universe and carry on the eternal quest in company with all brothers. This is the revelation which the passage of the candidate through all the degrees conveys. Subtle and elusive indications are given also of that organized and intelligent activity which is carried on by that grand lodge of master masons who have for ages watched over humanity and guided men steadily in the way of light. The whole fabric of masonry may be regarded as the externalization of that inner spiritual group whose members down the ages have been custodians of the plan. End quote. Remember the plan? We've discussed it at length. It's also known as the Great Work, the Lost Word, etc., etc., etc. Foster Bailey, in his book, pages 21 and 22. Next, he writes that these master masons are called by many names, such as Christ and His Church. They can be known by others as the Masters of the Wisdom, the Great White Brotherhood, the dispensers of light, the builders. Then he adds, quote, they are therefore sometimes known as the Illuminati. There's the admission. And there are many more that I've quoted on this broadcast. And yet I still get letters from people saying the Illuminati is an illusion. They don't really exist. Well, here's a member who tells you that they do. He says they are the rishis of the Oriental philosophy, the builders of the occult tradition, Stage by stage, they assist at the unfolding of the consciousness of the candidate until the time comes when he can enter into light and in his turn become a light bearer, one of the Illuminati, who can assist the Lodge on high in bringing humanity to light, end quote. These people murdered John F. Kennedy in Dealey Plaza, a temple of light, a temple of the sun, where stands an obelisk beside a reflecting pool with a sculpture of the eternal flame on top, the same eternal flame that they planted upon his grave in silent mockery. And for those who know the esoteric language, it is their signature, saying, "We did this." Don't you get out of line like this man did, or we can do this to you also. As any Freemason knows, entering into light is the term used in the fulfillment of his search for light in the degrees of Masonry. Bailey has just stated that this can make him one of the Illuminati, one of those illumined ones who can help the Masonic Grand Lodge on Sirius bring humanity into light, one of the fellow travelers. Foster Bailey also says that participating in this great work as part of a greater initiation, the Luciferic initiation that Benjamin Krim says will take place in Masonic lodges, will take one on to his own godhood, quote, "The rites, ceremonies, and initiations of Masonry may be regarded, and are so regarded by many, as being faint representations and symbolic rehearsals of those major spiritual initiations through which every human being must pass before achieving his goal of manifested divinity and can enter finally within the veil," end quote. Manifested divinity? So we see that, like any good New Age occultist, a Freemason's goal is to become a god himself, and that's the only thing you need to know about all of this. There is no secret in the Lodge. There is no ultimate great gem of wisdom that anybody ultimately learns except how to control large numbers of people by the promise of a secret, which turns out to be that man himself, if he perfects the temple and finds the philosopher's stone, which is their metaphor for the perfection of the soul, will, in fact, become God. It's the old Gnosticism. Of ancient times. It is, in fact, the worship, ladies and gentlemen, of the intellect. Another revelation concerns the evolution of the races, as given by Foster, starting on page 31, and as explained more fully by Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and Alice in their works. Foster presents what he calls a basic hypothesis in discussing this question. Quote, "Is Masonry of vast antiquity, and do we inherit it from a dim and distant past?" End quote. That this hypothesis is far more than that for the New Agers is evident when later he says that if you can't accept this hypothesis, you just need to be more open to your intuition, a veiled reference to paying attention to those trying to influence you. In other words, hey, buckle under to the propaganda, dunce, or we'll sit you in the corner and you can't be a part of this class. Foster Bailey says the hypothesis based on a study of the rituals and symbols and the allegory of initiation is as follows. Quote, "Masonry is the descendant of, or is founded upon, a divinely imparted religion which long antedates the prime date of creation as given in our Bible. It is all that remains to us of the first world religion, which flourished in an antiquity so old that it is impossible to affix a date. It was the first unified world religion, Then came the era of separation of many religions, of sectarianism. Today we are working again towards a universal world religion. Again, then, Masonry will come into its own in some form or another. End quote. He further says that this ancient religion is attested to by such symbols as the pyramids, both in Egypt and South America, what is left to us of the ancient mysteries. He says these mysteries, quote, were temporary custodians of the ancient truth and are closely allied to the Masonic work of today. And the golden thread of the living continuity can be traced through them to modern Freemasonry. And he's absolutely correct, for I have traced this organization all the way back to the beginning of the recorded history of mankind. For they have left a trail that is easy to follow. Bailey then says that we can go even further back than that in our search for the source of the Masonic inheritance. She says, quote, Masonry may therefore be as old as humanity itself, and religion as old as Freemasonry. The period when there were emerged on earth that infant humanity of which our modern race of men are the fruitage. That period may also have been the founding of our Masonic ritual and work. Scientists hint at two races which preceded ours and give them names, the Lemurian civilization and the Atlantean civilization. Ancient Lemuria saw the first human being walk on the earth. He was little more than an animal, end quote. Is this true? Do scientists really say that there were two races at the beginning of humanity, an Atlantean civilization and an ancient Lemurian civilization? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've read just about every science book I can get my hands on concerning anthropology and the history of the human race, and I can find no reference to any such races whatsoever except in the imaginations of the New Age movement, people like Hitler, in the writings of the secret societies, in the writings of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, in Plato's recounting of an ancient tale passed on to him of a sunken continent called Atlantis, but in no scientific writing or journal can I find any reference to a race called Atlantean or Lemurian. You see, these people lie a lot. And since most people never check anything that they read, they just believe it. I know people who read this stuff who really believe that scientists claim that there were two ancient races, one known as the Lemurian, the other as the Atlantean. And it is just a blatant lie. Now, Alice Bailey and Foster Bailey may believe that such races existed. But it's not based upon science. It's based upon their particular religion. It's based upon the faith that what they've been told by whoever taught them this nonsense was also true. Foster Bailey makes a statement about this pre-human creature that should set every Mason bolt upright in his chair. He says, quote, he was a soul in a deep and dark prison with the light that is hidden in each human form lost in veil. He was a poor blind candidate for light, knocking blindly upon the door of the temple. Blind and ignorant, he wanders up and down, seeking light and unable to answer the questions put to him, end quote. And that is an indication that harks back to the metaphor of the Garden of Eden. And so we see that Bailey says this pre-human creature was a poor, blind candidate for light, knocking blindly upon the door of the temple. That is a verbatim description of the initiate during the ceremony of the first degree of Freemasonry. But for those of you who are not Masons, you need not take my word for it, because in the very next sentence, Foster himself says that's what it represents. When he says, quote, this is beautifully taught in the entered apprentice initiation, where all he can do until the gift of light is conferred upon him is to express his willingness to seek, Every other question, when put to him, is answered by his escort, end quote. So we can now better understand what Albert Mackey meant by his description of the symbology of the first degree. Writing in his Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, he states, quote, "The entered apprentice degree symbolizes the creation of man and his first perception of light," end quote. What is light? Let's continue with the thread of the true meaning of the Blue Lodge initiations, as Foster now proceeds to show that not only the first degree has as its purpose to recount that time in prehistory when animal man became man, but that the second and third degrees also tell part of this story. But unfortunately, we're running out of time. And to do justice to this, I can't possibly squeeze any portion of it into the next minute or so. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we'll leave that to be continued tomorrow, and continue it we will until we are finished. And then we will get into some of the secrets of the Eastern Star and show you a direct connection linked to Freemasonry and the Illuminati. And then we will go into some of the dire effects that this has had, is having, and will continue to have upon us until we awaken to the fact, become illumined ourselves, but illumined to the truth, not the lies that these purveyors of BS push upon the poor fools whom they ensnare in their net. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.
There's no reason for you to lose your mind, 'cause I've seen something that's gonna change our time. If I could, I'd make you understand. If I could, I'd make you understand. There's no hurry, it's gonna come for sure.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Thank you. This is the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. 4 times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is $20 per year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled programming, All Oldies, Most of the Time. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show,